Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge you who may care about or care for or have become someone with a disability.
Disrespect welcomes Blair Lancaster to the show from Halton Wentworth Breast Cancer Support Services. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Okay. Great to be here.
All right. We spoke about this interview in terms of the article in the Burlington Post and the Ministry's Assistive Devices Program, which has shifted the burden of funding from agencies to breast cancer survivors. Is that correct?
Apparently, the ADP program, you know, as of July 1st, is planning to make some changes, and we just felt that they weren't in the best interest of breast cancer survivors and voiced our opinion about that.
Yeah. I understand that there are several issues involved for you beyond the simple one of the change in funding. The training has become an issue, training of suppliers, and that, as we spoke, funding has become an issue, and that the survivors have been obligated to pay for more of their own support. It was a third issue for you too, wasn't there?
Well, I guess in a nutshell, I think the first one, as you said, it has to do with funding. And funding, I don't think was a huge aspect as far as the cuts would work out. If you needed a double prosthesis, so if you'd had a double mastectomy, then the funding cut was about $50, which isn't the end of the world. It's not, we were screaming about that. It was the way that you would have to apply for funding that we felt caused more of a problem for cancer survivors.
That was the third issue, was the access to the forms, yeah.
And then the access to the forms is all part of that, too. So those three things, I think, are the things that we're most concerned about.
Yeah, well, you may not know, and it may not apply to most of your survivors in Burlington. I don't know the demographic, but people on fixed incomes have been accessing a special diet supplement increasingly in league with their doctors to try and bring their fixed incomes not up to the poverty line, but up to a line where they can actually both pay the rent and feed the kids. And the government is reviewing that and cutting those by about four-fifths, so I'm not sure that $50 isn't an issue, but it depends on your clientele and their sources of income.
It depends. And, of course, this is, everywhere, so it's not just in the Burlington area.
That's true. But you're speaking up about it.
Well, we are, because, women who are diagnosed with breast cancer are on a journey, and they start out on that journey, and it's a huge shock to the system to find out that there is something wrong and that it's a life-threatening illness, and then they have to deal with all the changes in their life, like the surgeries and loss of a breast and all of the issues that are associated with that, with being a woman. You know, and like most cancers, there's the chemotherapy, radiation, loss of hair, you often lose your job. So,
oh, really?
Financial,
Because of the length of the treatment?
Combination of things. Everyone responds to those types of treatments a little bit differently. Some are able to work, many are not.
Mm.
And
there's no requirement that their jobs be held.
No. And
that's devastating.
It's devastating. It's a huge change for the family, and so they have to deal with all of those kinds of changes. And then this on top of it, if you have to, you're applying for the assistive devices for the prosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, what had happened was that you would pay a portion up front, which works out to be about $200 per prosthesis.
So in the past, you would pay up front.
A small portion of it. The prosthesis itself would cost about $800.
Right, and so you'd pay a quarter, you say?
Yeah, and then you would apply through your supplier of the prosthesis. They would usually help you to fill out the forms, and then you would send those in, and the money, the balance owing, would be paid directly to the supplier.
Okay.
So now what the government is saying, no, you have to pay, the breast cancer survivor will have to pay the entire amount up front.
$800?
Yeah. And then you can apply to get some of that money back. Well, our concern is that if you've just lost your job, that's not an easy thing to come by. And, you know, so we are very concerned about that, not so much about the cut to the program, but the amount of money that you have to now put up front.
Well, for someone on a fixed income, this amount of money in your bank account, while it's perfectly legal, it's enough to trigger a financial review. It's so unusual that someone living on a sub-poverty level income could hang on to $800 every month.
Well, that's true. You know, and there's that issue, and then there's just an issue for people who maybe aren't on fixed income. It's still an issue. $800 is still a lot of money to have sitting around.
Someone who's lost their job is working on a declining income and can't solve the problem of their daily expenses, let alone an extra $800.
So even though they eventually get it back, they still have to float that, you know, along the way. And you know, if you so much as fill out the form incorrectly with the wrong initial or, you know, dot something incorrectly, it can be months before you get that problem solved. So
you could be out the $800 for what, a minimum of what? If everything goes well, 2 months?
Yep, to maybe, you know, 6 months.
If things don't go well, it could be 6 months.
Yeah.
And you're saying that they're fussy enough about the forms that basically it's how you dot the I's and cross the T's.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for most of us, we're not familiar with filling out government forms to begin with.
Right.
And they, you know, they are a challenge for most individuals. But then you add the stress of having breast cancer and going through treatment and surgery, and you feel, you know, in great difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
So this now becomes a huge challenge, not just a simple everyday challenge. And so, you know, having the help from the supplier was a huge benefit. And I'm sure that suppliers will still continue to help individuals fill out those forms, but now they still have to manage it on their own.
Money-wise.
Yeah. And that brings us to, you know, the other comment that you made, which was really to do with the forms themselves. Because currently they're available in the community that individuals can pick up, and then they can take to the supplier when they go to make the purchase.
Right.
And, you know, we carry them here, for instance, and it's something that we get from the, you know, from the ADP. So they supply them, you know, we give them out, and we're happy to do that as a service. And, you know, we're a community-based program. We don't get government funding. Completely supported by the community and the people who use our services. So people get those forms, they are able to put them through. Well, now the government is taking that away. They're not going to supply the forms any longer. You have to go online. Well, people who are on limited income, many single women, do not have access to the internet and can't print off those forms. And worse than that, where on earth are they supposed to get the information from to tell them to even go to the site? So it's
question.
Like there's a process issue here that's disappeared, and that responsibility then gets downloaded again onto organizations like ours to provide that information and try to educate women about it. And we just feel that that's unfair, and it's irresponsible.
Yeah, you mentioned that your funding is basically community funding.
Yes,
and, and that you feel that the provincial government shouldn't be downloading this cost onto organizations that already have to scramble for their funds.
That's right. We're happy to support. We're happy to help in any way that we possibly can.
But you're going to end up the sole source.
Exactly. And that's our concern. That, you know, we're just questioning why this has happened and why we weren't consulted, for instance.
Yeah.
Cam Jackson has been helping us, trying to get to the bottom of it. He did ask Mr. Smitherman last week about it, and he didn't know anything about it. So
apparently he asked him to delay the changes, too. Has that taken place?
No, apparently it's all gone through. So I don't think that, you know, it can be stopped at this point. But certainly questions.
Yeah.
And make people aware that, you know, that there are some issues around it.
So what do you expect from Smitherman at this time?
I really don't know. You know, we feel so out of the loop, you know, in the whole process.
And yet you're the support people. You should be at the center of a consultation process and implementation.
Yeah.
And they've left you feeling out of it.
We're questioning that for sure. And why organizations like ourselves weren't notified. I mean, we heard it. We heard the information from clients who were coming in terribly upset that, you know, because they didn't have the $800 to put up to get the prosthesis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we were brought into it, and that's really our concern. We're here, you know, we understand the other side of the coin as well, but at the same time, we're here to support the women who need the service. And these particular changes are making it far more difficult for them, and we feel that that's inappropriate. There's over 20,000 cases of breast cancer in Canada. A third of all of the cases from across Canada are in Ontario.
Oh.
And the majority of those are in southern Ontario, mainly because of population. You know, so that's why the need for an organization like ours.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important to provide that support. And we have a huge, you know, very, very, very high incidence of breast cancer in this particular region.
Isn't the emotional component of recovery an important one for a cancer survivor? In other words, to have a lot of support and not a lot of worry and a positive outlook that's not burdened by
research,
problems like this?
Research clearly shows that when an individual has a good support system in place, they do much better recovering from the illness.
Yeah. And then isn't there a practical problem in that the treatment itself, no matter how much you may be daunted by the prospect of death or however camouflaged disfigurement or a change in identity because of your body change or a change in identity because of your loss of work, you're exhausted too by the treatment itself. I mean, even if all these other things, if you could set all these other things aside, isn't the treatment itself exhausting?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then the woman's required to uncover the secret now about the form, and then to go and get one.
And even to find out where to go and how to go.
Yeah.
They're not making it easy. They're making it more difficult.
And I take it that there's no relief for women who have to come up with this $800. You know, I can imagine a full-figured single mom on a fixed income of $1,000 a month being told she has to come up with another $1,000 or change her figure drastically after a double mastectomy and have to explain to everybody what she's gone through. When she's having trouble dealing with it herself, there's no one to help her with the expense.
We will see more and more women using socks.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And that's the reality. I think that says it all. We see them today. It's not unusual that women choose, instead of going through the process because they're intimidated or just too embarrassed or upset, they choose to use socks in their bra.
Yeah.
And that is their choice, because I think today those services are available, and there are organizations like ours that can help them through it.
But financially, they're on their own.
And I think moving forward, that burden is going to be tremendous. And that's exactly the way that we feel here, is that we'll see more and more women using socks.
And now for a short break from our interview.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Blair Lancaster of the Halton Wentworth Breast Cancer Support Services talk about the provincial government's downloading of the upfront payment for prostheses for breast cancer to the survivors themselves.
What does this do for the government? Obviously, they're hoping to save on paper and ink, which seems shameful in this situation. But I'm not a businessman by nature.
Well, I think from the cash perspective, the benefit goes to the supplier of the prosthesis. And the supplier of the prosthesis is going to benefit. They're not going to have to wait for their money any longer.
Oh, that's right. Well, they're going to get it up front, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned they had a very strong lobby, didn't you, when we talked before the interview?
Well, it was actually the suppliers of prosthesis that originally developed the ADB program.
Right.
It wasn't initially initiated by the government. It was brought forward by a group of people who were concerned and wanted to have some implementation in place of some accreditation and things like that. And that's one of the major concerns in this whole issue as well, is that they're taking away the accreditation for the fitting of prosthesis. And it means that someone can sell prosthesis at the corner store.
Right.
And we feel we want to protect women who have to go through that process to begin with and ensure that they're going to someone who is professional, who is professionally trained, and has the sensitivity to deal with it appropriately.
Yeah.
We don't want to see prosthesis being sold everywhere and anywhere.
Or by anyone.
And by anyone, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If the supplier's lobby is the strongest lobby in this transaction, and the recent changes are to the detriment of the customers and to the advantage of the supplier's lobby is suspect, and the government is suspect for responding to it in this way.
Well, I'm not sure, you know, who did what in this whole process, so I really can't comment on that. I can certainly see why the supplier would want the change of, you know, the application, etc. But the suppliers that we talked to, as far as the forms and all of those kinds of things went, they really felt that these were not good changes at all. Very, very difficult. And, you know, the bottom line is most suppliers do have a heart. And I think in the end, if they had a woman who came to them that couldn't afford to pay for the prosthesis up front, I'm sure that they could make some sort of special concession.
Right.
But we've seen in many other industries, you know, in the dental industry, for instance, when the dentist doesn't require payment until you've been paid by your drug plan,
right,
or your health plan, dental plan, or whatever it is, the bottom line is half the time they hardly ever get paid because people get the money and they use that money anyway.
Yeah.
Because people who don't pay up front generally need the money anyway and have cash flow problems. So.
Yeah.
You know, those systems just don't work, and in this particular case, I think it's in everyone's best interest if the suppliers would still be allowed to make the application directly.
I see, and be paid directly.
Mm-hmm. And be paid directly.
It's interesting that you said you weren't sure of what had gone on behind the scenes. There seems to be, in addition to a process problem for applicants, it seems to be not a very transparent process. For instance, as the providers of support for breast cancer survivors in Halton Wentworth, you weren't consulted about this change. In fact, it came as a surprise. Your clients came to you, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't involved in formulating this regulation. And in fact, the minister wasn't even informed of this forthcoming change. Even if it had been enacted before he took over the portfolio, you said that he didn't seem to know about it.
It appears to be, from their viewpoint, almost a housekeeping issue. So, you know, I'm not sure.
So you're thinking it's a sub-ministerial problem?
Yeah, I would think so at this stage, but the bottom line is the results are the same, and the changes that they're making are not good for breast cancer survivors.
It's a provocative thing to say, that from my point of view, I have to say it is, there seems to be another problem involved. If the disadvantaging of women who are fighting for their lives is a sub-ministerial problem, the triaging of problems, the presentation of problems, the accountability for problems created by legislative changes seems to lack some kind of review. You know? you shouldn't. You shouldn't have to go to the minister after your clients come to you and say what's going on and hear that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting turn of events, for sure.
What do you hope for as a change that favors your clients, or do you have hope of a change?
I think that a simple option would be that if number one, if the suppliers could apply directly, or like under the new guidelines,
yeah.
If an individual wished to apply and fill out the forms themselves, then that's fine too. But I think the supplier could also do that on behalf of, on behalf of the individual.
So you're saying
directly. If it works both ways,
it'd
be fine.
But it should be an option at
least. Yeah, if it was an option, then that would satisfy the need.
Yeah.
So that would certainly be one thing. The second issue is around the paperwork and making sure that the forms are available and take into consideration the needs of people who do not have access to technology. And they still have to identify somewhere where you would go for that information. And that can only be done in hard copy.
So more methods of payment, which include the supplier and the reintroduction of the supply of hard copy forms.
Yeah,
and you'd
information.
And you'd be happier about the situation.
Oh, absolutely.
But you haven't been promised any changes.
No.
Have you been given any deadline for a response?
No, not as yet. We called the ADP offices just to try to find more information out about it, and they really couldn't tell us anything more than what we had been able to ascertain through our clients. So,
yeah, forgive me for editorializing, but ADP seems to operate like a huge hardware store, and if they have what you need, there's some way to get it from them. If they don't have what you need, they have nobody medical there.
Yeah.
And not only can you not get it, they won't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had the same experience. Well, your web address for people who need to know more?
Breastcancersupport.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all one word.
Yep.
Breastcancersupport.org. And for those who need to download an application, the Post gives an address, www.health.gov.on.ca. That's health.gov.on.ca. And a phone number, 1-800-268-6021. 800-268-6021. And they'll mail one to you. What may a listener do
to support
your request?
Well, just lobby your representative and ask the question. How did this go about? Why were the changes made? And do you think this is fair?
Yeah. Thanks, Blair, for your time.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
You've been listening to Blair Lancaster of the Halton Wentworth Breast Cancer Support Services talk about the provincial government's downloading of the upfront payment for prostheses for breast cancer to the survivors themselves. In the middle of the show, you heard Jimmy Yancey and Lucille's Lament. Coming up at the end of the show, both from a UK album, Hey Piano Man, Pete Johnson and the Shuffle Boogie. Thank you.
You can now listen to the show wherever you're near an internet download. Disrespect is archived at www.radioforall.net. That's the number four, not the word, radioforall.net. You can find the shows under its name, Disrespect. To find out what we plan for the show, go to www.calendric.com/disrespect. That's C-A-L-E-N-D-R-I-C. www.calendric.com/disrespect. Tune in at showtime to see if something more topical hasn't displaced the show that we planned. Disrespect is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.